Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. Well, almost 32 million Americans take statins every day. So the FDA's warning last month that these cholesterol-lowering drugs can cause confusion, memory loss, muscle weakness, and elevated blood sugar leading to type 2 diabetes. Well, it highlighted concerns that these drugs are being overprescribed. To find out if the new warnings are likely to change that, I'm joined by Dr. Sidney Wolf. He's the director of the Health Research Group, which he co-founded with Ralph Nader in 1971. He's also an adjunct professor of internal medicine at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. Dr. Wolf, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Nice to be with you.
So do these warnings come as a surprise to the medical community, or have physicians long been aware of these side effects the FDA is now warning us about?
There have been a number of previous studies going back to before these drugs were approved showing muscle pain and muscle damage in the most extreme form called rhabdomyolysis, which can also cause kidney failure. There also have been previous studies showing new onset of diabetes in people taking these drugs. There have been some reports, but I think more recently, about problems with memory. So I think it's a further accumulation of information that the drugs have risk. And so let's look at people who are taking statins in two groups. One, people who've had heart attacks, strokes, who have a lot of risk factors for their first heart attack or stroke or have already had one. And two, people who are really healthy, they don't have any cardiac risk factors, and they might have a slightly elevated cholesterol level. The group that I just mentioned with the diseases and the cardiac risk factors, we're really trying to prevent them from having something that they are at high risk of having. This is called secondary prevention. The other group, and it's in this other group where the benefits are much, much less well defined, if existent at all, so-called primary prevention. These people are healthy. They don't have anyone in their family that's had a heart attack at a young age. They don't have diabetes. They don't have hypertension, and so forth. These are people who, in the case of, I would guess, at least hundreds of thousands or more of them, are taking these drugs, the statins, risking a number of the things we've already talked about, muscle damage, onset of new diabetes, memory loss, without the possibility of any benefits.
So what is the cholesterol numbers, if they are healthy, where they should actually seriously consider taking statins versus numbers that tell them, you know what, at this point, I don't need to do this?
Well, it isn't just a magic number. For example, one of the components of the total cholesterol is the good cholesterol, so-called HDL. And people might have a total cholesterol of, let's say, 250, but may have an HDL of 50 or 60. And those people are really not in a high-risk group. So it isn't as simple as to say automatically anyone under a certain level shouldn't worry and shouldn't take statins, and over a certain level they should, because there's some fine-tuning on it. I think the general way of approaching it is this a healthy person? They don't have any of the things we've talked about before, and is their cholesterol or total cholesterol somewhere around 230, 240, 250, and then you want to find out about their HDL, the good cholesterol, and you also maybe like to find out about the bad cholesterol, the LDL.
32 million Americans now taking statins. Would you say maybe even half of them, 15 million, may not need to be doing so?
I don't think it's anywhere near half, but it's enough people that people really should go to their doctor and have a discussion about this. In the wake of this new FDA announcement a week and a half ago about changing the label, there are a lot of really reckless statements by physicians making it seem as though we know these drugs are work. Don't be worried. Don't be scared. Well, if they're talking to people who've had a heart attack or stroke, that may be right, but they have not really made that kind of distinction between people who are very low risk and people who are very high risk. And so I don't know what the number is. It is hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million. But whatever it is, it's a group of people who are getting risks with no benefits and are probably in many cases not emphasizing as much as they and their physicians should be doing the role, important role of diet and exercise.
I'm talking to Dr. Sidney Wolfe. He's the director of the Health Research Group, which he founded with Ralph Nader in 1971, also an adjunct professor of internal medicine at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. So the FDA approved the first statin in 1987. Why 25 years later are we now getting these warnings?
Well, that's an excellent question, and the answer has to do with a lot of drugs, particularly ones that are being used for a long period of time. The FDA requires, at least they have since 1962, that in order for a drug to be approved, it has to show evidence in a randomized controlled study where half the people get one drug, half get another, or something like pain or allergy, half get a drug and half get a placebo. So the design of these studies to show that the pills work are largely focused on effectiveness. In the case of the cholesterol-lowering drugs, it doesn't lower cholesterol. Only later were studies done showing that in high-risk people, it not only lowered cholesterol, but lowered the risk of subsequent heart attacks or strokes. The studies are not large enough, or as we would say, statistically powered enough, powered by a large enough number of people, to really get at a number of the issues of safety. So we know much more about the effectiveness of drug, or in the case of the statins, whether it lowers cholesterol, than we do about a variety of adverse effects.
Is it at all dangerous to stop taking a statin once you've started or maybe you've taken it for many years?
Well, they aren't addicting, but again, it gets down to the issue of, do you really need to take it? If you really need to take it, as in you've had a heart attack or stroke or at high risk of having one, one remedy could be lowering the dose. In other words, aside from whether people should be taking them or not, not if they are in a low-risk group, even if they should be taking it, sometimes the doctors haven't given enough of a try to lowering the dose. They're still getting the cholesterol lowering, and the cholesterol lowering may be slightly less, but it may still be sufficient to fend off some of the risks of heart disease and so forth.
Earlier this year, a survey of 150,000 participants in the Women's Health Initiative found that older women taking statins were 48% more likely to develop diabetes. That sounds like a serious problem. Should women generally be more cautious about taking statins?
Well, the increased risk of diabetes is not limited to men, to women. There are men that also have an increased risk, but women generally, not obviously there are many exceptions, aren't quite as high risk of cardiovascular disease as men. They're high enough risk that if they have had a stroke or a heart attack or they have other cardiac risk factors, they should be using the drug. But again, for women, maybe even more than for men, if they are in a low risk group, don't have cardiac risk factors, and their cholesterol isn't all that high, this might be a wake-up call for them to have a discussion with their doctor and consider the possibility of not using a statin.
After 25 years of statins now being embedded in the philosophy of the medical community, do you really think these warnings are going to dramatically change the numbers?
Well, it is my hope that they will change them on the side of the large numbers of people who really don't have enough of a risk of heart attacks or strokes, haven't had one, so they shouldn't be taking it. And that's where hopefully the effect will occur. I hope that for people who really can benefit from them, that they don't stop taking them. They might want to reduce the dose if that seems to be a good decision when they discuss this with their doctor. And I also hope that despite this new risk information, people who really could benefit from them but aren't taking them will still consider taking them.
Dr. Sidney Wolfe, director of the Health Research Group, also an adjunct professor of internal medicine at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. Dr. Wolfe, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
And again, people can find out more about this on our website, worstpills.org. We list hundreds of drugs, the ones that we think are safer, the more dangerous ones, alternatives. If we say don't use this drug, we always give a safer alternative. Worstpills.org. Nice talking to you.
Sounds like a good resource. Thanks again. And if you have any comments or questions, send them along. Our email address here is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. That's capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen, and you are listening to More Compelling Talk Radio 1320 WILS.